Well, we'll call the work session to order at 5:30. Now, what were you saying, Ms. Falcone?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have everything that we did for Mills Road on the website except for that letter.
Except for the letter.
I have the SHPO letter, I have the cultural resource investigation, archaeological thing, CHA scope of services.
Okay. All right, well, we can talk about it on the thing, but budget modifications.
You want me to talk about mine first?
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I gave you all a memo explaining exactly what I was doing, taking the $2,000 that was in for my Deputy 3 from personnel, the $2,000, and moving it over to training. And education. So I'm not using the Deputy 3 personnel fund, but what I will be using is the education. So in anticipation of prices of hotels and gas and everything else going up, I don't want it to be negative. It was negative last year. I had to do a budget transfer at the end of the year, and I just don't want to have that happen again. So that's basically why. And I can also tell you that one of the hotels that I'll be staying in used to be like $84 a night, and now it's like $96. So just to give you an example of how prices have gone up. So.
Want that door unlocked?
Yes, please.
So basically, in anticipation of the prices and the classes I'm going to be taking, I'm going to be going to another educational seminar at the end of March. It's all self-explanatory in the memo. That's all. Any questions?
Well, I'm assuming you're gonna remember this for next year when we do the budget, so you just can put a few extra bucks in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Other budget modifications are all 2022 year-end modifications. The majority of them we knew were coming and are not that big. If you guys have any questions on the specific ones, you can tell us. Yeah.
The one thing I didn't get a detail on the building's utility.
Yes. The splash park amount is approximately $26,000 of that $29,000 transfer. And since I was not here during the creation of 2022's budget, I do not know what the calculation was, but I have no information in the paperwork I do have that the splash park was included.
Okay. But what was it, like water bills or?
Aqua water fees. And then it was also the money that we paid to the village for the contract at the time the splash park was created.
Okay. And what was, what's
that
for them?
That was around $9,000 of the 26.
And then what was that for?
Because we were using lines from the village. So they were late in billing us, and I do know that that bill included, it's always a year behind, but it included 19, and then in 20 there was no splash park open, so it didn't include that, and then 21.
Oh, so they hadn't billed us for
19. I think the splash park is only open half a year in 19.
Right. It opened in the fall. Yeah. Later in the summer. Okay. I know work was done on the fields, and I didn't know, you know, when we did the 250 or 350,000 to improve the fields, that if we've ever returned the water meter that we used to get water from the hydrants. And does anybody know about that or no?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That is a question specifically that I think you should talk to Kevin about. We have talked about that water meter. It was metered, my understanding, differently than the splash park, but we looked at the usage too, and it really was wasn't significant to the whole.
Okay, so that water meter has nothing to do with this bill?
A lot of water.
Right. Okay.
I mean, there were additional water charges in watering the field.
Okay. Okay, I wasn't sure when you said it was mostly water, that included that part. Okay.
The majority of it is all splash park at the 26,000.
That one especially, but all of these to some, are they, is the 2023 budget reflect the numbers that are accurate?
So, at the time of creation of the 2023 budget, the utilities line, remember that huge increase, it was actually part of the budget presentation, was now including the splash park. Now, if that number pans out, yay, hopefully the fees will stay where they're at. They could be increasing. We're gonna look at operationally too, how to, you know, make everything work within the budgetary funds.
But I guess what I'm hearing you say is with disregarding any, you know, incremental change in utility fees, we took care of this problem for 23. What about anything else for all the other ones as well too?
Well, some of these, what, like with parks specifically, I know that Kevin had a certain amount of money set aside for different things, and then other things happened. So he came in and within his budget, he asked, "Can I move some stuff around? You know, I'd rather buy this than this, and because it's not going to come in this year." So we talk about it, and he moved it around. It's all within his budget. Everybody, correct me if I'm wrong, Jennifer, everybody was able to cover their budget, cover the transfers from the remaining asset or remaining funds in their budget, with the exception of
the utilities piece we
pulled. Yeah, but that was something that we didn't know what they were. And the highway.
That is from general fund accounts,
yeah,
that Penn controls. So we're moving from one fund to the other.
But here's the problem. Everybody else
came and talked to us and said, "This is going to happen.
Right.
This is what I'm thinking." And, you know, we had a discussion about it. So nothing was like a huge surprise, except the only thing that we weren't talked to about was.
Yeah, and not only that, all of that was able to be covered out of their budget.
Yes.
We moved things within from their existing budget, with the exception of highway, because that comes out of the general budget, and he was over $2,000. Now, I was hoping he was going to be here tonight, but if you didn't know, he got banged up on a bike. Someone hit him with a car with a bike, so I got a call into him, but he didn't answer.
A bicycle or like motorcycle?
Bicycle.
He was on a bicycle?
Yeah.
Could have been a mobile.
Oh, jeez.
He's in rough shape according to Alicia.
What's that?
He's in rough shape according to Alicia.
Well, he's talking about coming into work tomorrow, maybe, or Monday, or Tuesday, so.
I don't know if he can drive yet. I don't know. I think he's getting driven in. I'm not sure if he's driving.
Oh.
Yeah. Alicia wasn't thinking he was driving. Maybe
yeah.
He will be by then. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him because I couldn't get a hold of him. But this is something that, you know, he has to understand he can't go over in those. You know, that's
right,
you
right,
can't
that's
do
what
that.
I'm concerned about. So,
you know, I mean, if he would have walked in, if he would have come in and we would have told him, then, you know, if you're gonna be over, then you gotta cut our hours back.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
But even with his other line items, he has to understand he cannot go over those line items without us giving him the okay and finding and him talking with Jennifer and me and then us eventually to say, yeah, we can move this money around. And that's one of the things he's very lackadaisical with. So he's got to understand that these things have to be talked about prior to any expenditures occurring.
Jennifer, what about the last page, just the benefits page? Is anything strange going on there?
Stabilization. say the benefits page, what fund are we talking
about?
Well,
the last page of your, we've got, we're moving things out of state retirement funds and moving them into unemployment insurance, hospital and medical insurance. Is there, did something strange happen in 22 that?
So in the general fund, we have deficits in hospital, medical, unemployment insurance, and disability. I think that there were some changes in the price for hospital in the general fund that took place, but also changes in coverage for people as well, that are impossible to anticipate. For instance, people going from single to family, people being added, a full-time employee was added, and insurance costs are added in. So those amounts are all being covered by a surplus in the state retirement for the general fund.
And why do we have a surplus in that fund?
As we move forward and people that are in tiers 1 and 2 retire, we're seeing significant savings. Mm-hmm. Because the cost is not as great anymore.
Mm-hmm. Of what the town pays into the retirement.
So I guess my same question, your level of confidence in 23 for this area?
Of course.
Of course what?
Of course, I would cover, we'll be more than covered.
Okay.
Not that things won't pop up throughout the year, but that's what contingency is for.
Yeah, but you want a budget, but make sure that this is a reminder to, you know, I don't know what our numbers are for 23, you know them, and just to check them to see, we're heading for the same kind of problem again.
And we will monitor them throughout the year.
All right.
No.
No. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Court audit. Oh.
This one out, I sent you.
Jennifer, you want to just give an update on the court audit?
So, Bonadio came in. They completed the 2021 court audit while I simultaneously completed the 2022. It was smooth sailing, just had one case in each year that the clerks couldn't locate, and they're new and weren't here, and it wasn't their filing system at the time. Everything else was fine, great. So the reports are being finished up, and then we'll send them on to the courts, and that's done until next year. And it was very, very beneficial, by the way, to have Bonadio here to run through it, where the audit work is not complex. There are a lot, like every case is slightly different, so it was really great to have someone experienced in this type of auditing to just bounce questions off of to make sure that things were being done correctly. So it was very, very valuable, and she was very knowledgeable and helpful.
Good. But you did 22 on your own with her help. Yeah.
Well, I did 22 on my own, but I had someone to ask questions. Like, in this scenario, what would you do, you know? So it was nice to have that, for sure.
So was that a financial audit, or was that just an audit of, like, records? Or
it's more procedural, but it does deal with the receipts and disbursements that go through the court.
So on that end, everything looked good. Very good.
Grant funding.
Yes, we were in about a month ago and spoke with the board. Was wondering if anybody had put any further thought into that and had any further discussion about priorities to search for funding for. Just kind of following up on that.
Well, I know Kevin had a conversation with, who's the lady? Amy?
Amy. I was just looking for some feedback from the board, if anybody had put any further thought into it.
I spoke to you about sidewalks, right?
Yep.
Maybe getting some sidewalks. Talked about the crosswalk, too.
Yep.
Right, at the park.
For the park, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So things of that nature.
Yeah, that cross, where are you going to put the crosswalk at the park?
At the driveway.
Right at the driveway.
To get to the existing walking path on the south side of the entrance road.
There's a walking path right across the street?
Yeah. So we just want to do a crosswalk from the, so a little piece of stone dust path or paved path from the soccer parking lot.
Yeah.
To the path.
To the edge of the park entrance road, and then a crosswalk across the park entrance road at Smoky Hollow to the existing walking path on the south side of the driveway.
Yeah, I have to look where it is.
I didn't make any phone calls, and I should have, and I was remiss in not doing that. But two things, and one of them I did bring up, and I guess it's, I'll throw it out there, because I don't know what has to be done or what could be done, but to examine the potential of building or making sure a trail could be built along the river from, you know, all through the town's land along the Seneca River to where it would meet up with, I guess, Salina. And so, I know there's a plan, and Al knows that as well. It was done, 15 years ago or so?
Yeah, all of that.
And I'm just wondering if there's anything we can do to just make sure that that doesn't just gather dust.
Well, that LWRP grant should help us do that.
Yeah, but maybe it's to actually come up, and
well,
I'll defer to
you. That's one of the things that we should try to include in the LWRP grant is additional study and refocus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that would be a discussion topic once a consultant is picked to do the LWRP.
That would be good.
To focus some of the language in that, as that's a needed and wanted project, a supported project within the town. And that'll open up grant funding opportunities for that,
okay,
that
so
project.
Put that on the list then?
Okay.
Yeah.
With the RFP, right?
Yep.
Kwasniewski's going to do it?
Yep.
Okay, so we're good right now? What do we have?
Yeah, Dan's going to get a draft together,
okay,
and send it to you and the mayor to,
okay,
review, and then they'll advertise it.
Okay, all right.
And I don't know if it's a sore subject because it was voted down by the community a few years ago, but the sidewalk just north of Smoky Hollow Road sidewalk, along 48. I think it was voted down because we were going to have the residents have to pay a portion of it, but I wonder if grants can be found to pay for all of that sidewalk. I mean,
that got voted down. Maintenance was a big concern, there was bond costs,
right,
so for the match.
Right.
It was not an enormous amount of money, but the maintenance cost, as far as, because that sidewalk would back up to the backyards of houses, so nobody was going to shovel it from, the Village Street.
Brown?
No, the newer development on the east side of 48.
It's behind houses, so it's not in front of anybody's houses. Nobody's going to shovel it, so we're going to contract with the Village.
Yes.
To plow it with their sidewalk.
Other side of the road.
Right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people had problems with how far in their lawns the sidewalk would be when you get further up.
Yep.
Like, a lot of those people have little turnarounds,
yep,
so they don't back out into 48.
Of course, it's the sidewalk right
at the top.
It's the right of way, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's not their land. It's a right of way off the road.
It's a right of way.
Right. Well, it's probably a subject that for another
still
time,
use it.
But
I understand that, but it's a right of way. It isn't their land.
It would be nice to revisit that, and I'm always saying that because of the park. Now there's a spray park there. There wasn't a spray park, and there's people walking that road all the time.
Yeah, we discussed that as one of the sidewalks, too, when I talked to Al.
Yeah.
About revisiting that.
I mean, if there's no interest on the board to continue that conversation, so be it. But it's a shame.
I think we should.
I'm all for sidewalks, regardless of where they are.
Yeah. I think we did a disservice to them not getting them in there last time. Yeah. All those kids coming out of Giddings Crest.
Absolutely.
I see kids walking down there all the time.
Yep. All the time.
Me
it
too.
Was definitely a disservice.
I'm on that road every day. I see them all the time.
I mean, the big problem is the way sidewalks are handled in New York State and towns. You got to do a sidewalk district to pay for the cost, and you have a fairly limited number of parcels that, you know, like a lot of people in Giddings Crest voted it down because they said, well, we're not going to benefit from it because it doesn't front our house. Well, you're a low volume, low speed residential street. There's no reason you can't walk up to 48 and get on the sidewalk. But there was a feeling that from a lot of people in Giddings Crest, and the reason we included Giddings Crest was trying to get the cost,
right,
the annual cost down.
With ARPA funds, though, that's a different story. Maintenance is still an issue.
Yes.
But I know we had talked about having the village use their machine to take care of that, too.
Yeah.
Well, that Parks Trail, how would that, I mean, just curiosity, the on Kilo, those houses back there by the sewage, you can't put a trail back on theirs. There's no right of ways back there.
We actually have right of ways.
Really?
In the houses to come out, yeah. Not behind the river, but we'd come out on the road.
Oh, yeah. No, I was talking about on the river.
You
yeah.
go around the horseshoe and then you go between the two houses.
Yeah. By the pond.
By the pines there.
Yeah.
And then we were gonna cross the swale and walk on the sewage treatment plant side around to where the boat dump station is, around the sewage treatment plant fence.
All right, yeah.
And back out
yeah.
of Barbara Lane.
One of the hardest parts about the trail was, I believe, the town allowed Timber Banks to give up on their part of the trail.
No, we do have...
They'll be all in for it, I bet.
Oh, I thought he came years ago to the board and had no interest in finishing the trail.
It was the sidewalks. They didn't want, the people on Longview didn't want a sidewalk in front of their house.
Oh, okay.
You know, we're sitting on a piece of prime trail property. I mean, the county they're dealing with an incredible obstacle, which is how you deal with Hiawatha Boulevard, State Fair Boulevard, and Onondaga Lake Parkway to complete the trail around the lake. But they're doing it. And once that trail is done, that's, if you can just imagine, the hub of a bicycle wheel with all these extensions going out. The Erie Canal Trail connects to that trail. Our residents can get on a bike or run down to Onondaga Lake Park if we had a trail along the river. And we own most of that land, or we have right-of-ways, and that's why I was so insistent upon the Abbott project, the Abbott Farm project, making sure that land was set aside as a right-of-way or something, just to make sure that we preserved the opportunity to put a trail there.
So that is one thing that we have issues with, is the state, the DOT would not accept the easement agreements that we had made with property owners along the river for the Central River Trail, and wanted it to be a fee taking. And that was really the project killer, because you were the value of all that waterfront property drove the cost so high, it was a deal breaker from a cost perspective.
To who? To the town? I mean, bring us
yes.
up to explain
yes.
what you
so,
just
so
said.
So there was, we, the town approached all the landowners, had all the landowners on board to grant easements for the trail, not a fee parcel. The DOT's program for that grant would not allow construction and easement. It had to be a separate fee parcel.
Okay.
So you had to buy the land.
Is that then and is now different?
No, it's the same now.
So, and what?
So
can money then? What we need is to find money to do that.
Yes, you need to find more money. That was what was. The project and the initial grant was way underfunded.
Yeah.
The whole
yeah.
grant, more than what the value of the grant was, would have been taken up in land acquisition costs.
If you take that land, buy that land from the landowner, now you're reducing the overall asset of the house, because now you don't have waterfront property, so now your assessment went down, hence we're taking in less tax dollars too.
Yeah, it's got to be a decision, but I guess all I'm looking for at this point is making sure we don't lose an opportunity, because it, you know, for example, Onondaga County is going to pay a lot of money for a tenth of a mile section of trail on the Murphy property, just off Onondaga Lake Parkway. If they had done that 75 years ago, it would have, just like the rest of Onondaga Lake Park, which is all there for free, so to speak, because the state gave it to us. And there's not many communities that have riverfront, not only riverfront, but a riverfront that can tie most of upstate New York together. That trail can go all the way up to Oswego.
Well, that's what, when we get that LWRP grant, that we'll be able to start researching money to do that.
Yeah. So it's just, I just don't want to lose an opportunity, that's all.
Anything else on that?
Well, I mean, one thing I don't believe we have is like a capital improvement plan, correct, Dale?
That is correct. We do not have a fully developed capital improvement plan.
And I think, you know, as the town, as we put money into the park, we have buildings that we need to take care of, and, you know, there's some of these buildings are approaching 40, 50 years old, as we've seen with the, you know, fire alarm system and the AC, HVAC. I think we got to sit down and make up, you know, is there something available along those kind of lines? Al, do you think?
As far as a grant funding to make a capital improvement plan?
Yeah, or do we have to make the plan to then?
Yeah, we would want to make the plan and then use that plan to apply for funding for things. There may be some Department of State plans for capital planning grants for capital improvements, but it's not something I've seen get awarded. Okay. There are lots of planning grants. I've never seen one get awarded for capital improvement per se. Not to say you couldn't apply for it, but I just don't know as I've ever seen one awarded.
You were here for a dozen years, you know, pretty much in-house. What other areas do you see that we've, you know, maybe we've never gone in that direction to apply for?
Well, one of the things we need to do, was there ever a comprehensive evaluation of all the properties here? Is there any document like that?
No.
That's the first thing we have to do. I mean, how do you apply for a grant if you don't know what you need?
Right.
So
right.
We have to, and that was on my plan for the summer, unless you want to take it over. If you want to take it over and do it, you know, have at it. But we have to do a comprehensive evaluation of each one of the properties, the highway garage, the Elizabeth Street facility. There's a place out in, it's a small garage out in
the old barn and
Lysander, and this building. And then we have to go through, okay, and list the things that we need to do. I know the roof, probably in about another 10 years, we're going to need that, but that was one of the first things I did when I got here. I took a look at the roof, and we had, the roof was in good shape. So, but you said the parking lot needs some work, so that's one area we should be putting in some different bathrooms in there with wheelchair access. We don't have that, so there's things like that we have to do, but have to have the time to go out and do it. And that was on the thing for this year.
Yeah, I'd be more than willing to help.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't want to do that until we did the roof, just because of the age of the roof.
Do what?
The Jen just mentioned solar panels for the roof of this building.
Why would we do that?
Yeah, I don't
No.
Alan thought that there was great grant funding.
Yeah, there's a ton of funding for it.
Lowers your utility costs significantly, and then you can even sell energy back to the grid and make money.
Yeah, there's a, what's our electric bill on this building every year, Jim?
A lot.
Yeah, it's like, I want to say it's over 30 grand a year. And you could recoup that cost annually and not put it back on the tax.
Well, again, there has to be an evaluation of that, so.
Right, and that, I mean, that probably falls into, like, a capital improvement plan. You know,
well, you need.
Those two parts coincide with each other.
We need generators in this building and then a highway building. There's a number of things we got to need. And what we can do is, you know, you're over at the highway. If you want to start with that building, have at it.
Okay.
You know, you can start with that. And
just for the record, you may be surprised to be saying this. I would support looking into solar here. And the reason is that it's an incredibly inefficient way to create energy if the town of Lysander had to pay for it entirely by itself. But if we can get other taxpayers from the New York State and federal and the United States to pay 30% of what I think they're subsidizing, up to 30%, I think there would be a payback in about 7 years. But it would be insane for us to consider doing that on our own, but let other taxpayers. And I'm being really cynical when I say that, because that's exactly why solar works, because the taxpayer base at large pays for it.
Yeah, I think actually, like Clay, I don't think Clay had to put any match into the one the solar
look into it.
Well, I can check with Damien.
I mean, I think our utility bill will go to zero.
Or electric, yeah.
Electric,
still gas,
electric, I meant.
Yeah, we could.
Does Radisson allow that?
We have to do structural analysis for the roof and whatnot, but I believe that the roof is stout enough to support panels. They really don't weigh that much.
I think there
could be a substantial savings, possibly no fee up front.
You got to, like Bob said, you got to see if Radisson allows that.
There's a few homes that have it.
Yeah,
really?
It's rooftop is allowed.
Yeah, I don't know if Radisson has different rules on commercial properties, but doesn't hurt to ask.
Would you say that was
what you
would
say?
It be like?
What did you say, Dana?
Radisson has a few. No, I'm just wondering how it would look. It would be flat. You wouldn't be able to see it.
They'd be angled to the south, so you'd be able to see them, but it.
It's not
then anymore. After 7 years, you'll probably have to replace it. Talk to people that have them. I have. There's one guy in Gloria that got it for free, and he said, "I wasn't for me getting them free, I would never put them in, regardless."
Right.
I was looking into it for my own home, and I decided not to do it. But the lifespan is about 20 to 25 years at this point. So, I would look into
it's
it.
Worth looking into.
Look into it.
Okay. What else with that? Anything else?
So we currently have a non-functioning fire alarm system. So we had our CP Alarms representative come out, take a look at everything, and he gave us an estimate. For his original estimate was for $11,800. So the supervisor decided that we could send out an RFP. Do you want me to wait for you, Bob? Do you want me to wait?
No, I know.
We just talked about it. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we sent out an RFP, and we sent it out to a few people, and we also put it in the paper, and it was on the website. And we got two back. One is from our company, from the CP Alarms, who we currently use now, $12,422. And we got one from Doyle Security for $8,995. So before we accept this, we need to talk with the people from Doyle, because we have to make sure that their security system is compatible with what we currently have, because if it's not, that could cost extra.
We've run into this before. The security system that we have is proprietary, so we tried to use another contractor when we did the modifications here and moved doors around and added sensors.
Yeah.
And we went through the whole process, did the RFP, got bids back, once the contractor got in here and tried to actually essentially do the work or you know, got a better feel for the work, he said he couldn't do it because of the proprietary system that we have in the building.
And the system also goes to an answering service in North Carolina, so that's who we go through now. So I don't know if Doyle goes through a different 911 service or how we pay that service now. I don't know if we pay them yearly or monthly.
It's a different communication device. My guess is you're going to pay another fee for that
right.
communication.
So we must be paying that now, I would say, a separate fee for security.
Assume we are. Yeah, we always work. I don't know who gets the invoices or.
So should we have a resolution tonight authorizing the town supervisor to spend up to whatever reasonable amount? Pick a number, because this sounds like an emergency to me. We don't.
You're right. It is.
I mean, do you want that, Bob?
I mean, as long as you know, I'm not gonna. You know, the objective is to make sure that it's all consistent, that it'll all work with each other, and then get it going. Get it.
Why don't we do a rest?
Just said, if you just want to. What you said,
well, you guys can figure that out, but I'm just saying, do a resolution tonight authorizing the town to spend up to $18,000 on replacing the fire alarm system under the guidance of our engineer, and just do it.
And just not accept this bid then, or like how?
No. So I think we have to have. So this is how I would play it. So I think somebody needs to. And I didn't see the bid. I didn't look at the scope. I didn't see any. I didn't have any involvement. So I don't know exactly what was done. But we need to look at what the scope of the RFP was. Mm-hmm. We need to determine it, what is included in Doyle's proposal. Is it a new control unit and just hooking up all the existing sensors and the smoke alarms that are in the building? Or are they replacing everything? What are they doing? And then from a communication standpoint, are they trying to tie their new fire alarm system into the existing control panel for the security system?
That was one of the things we didn't know.
We've had that issue in the past.
I guess I'm just asking, should we do this so you can figure all of that out as opposed to waiting two more weeks?
With you, Bob. I think we should just set a cap.
Well,
the high bid, it's not going to be any more than the high CP
right?
alarms.
Okay.
So authorize Bob to sign a contract up to the amount of
11,000 something.
Whatever CP's alarm bid was.
And then you guys figure it out over the next couple of days and just do it.
We got the best case scenario and worst case scenario. So we can approve the worst case scenario and, you know, up to.
Yeah. We're not going to award, but say that. Authorize the supervisor to sign a contract with
that will shall not exceed
qualified vendor up to whatever CP alarms bid is, because maybe Doyle comes in and says, no, we didn't include that, but if you sign our original contract, this is what the change order is going to be to make it work,
and
it may end up being cheaper. Does that make sense? So you award the contract and then they come in with a change order for additional equipment or any other additional work that needs to be.
Or they might say you need another $8,000 and we can't.
Yes.
Fit the window. Yeah. So that's the way I would phrase the resolution.
So you want to write it up and then I'll put it in as motion I?
Okay. What we're doing is we labeled it what exactly they'll be doing. So it's a point addressable fire alarm control panel, an addressable pulse station, 6 of them. Addressable smoke detector, 27 of them. Addressable heat detector, sampling tube, and 6 batteries. So we labeled that all out for them. So that's what they're basing their quotes on.
Great.
So none of our smokes or anything are working. It all has to be replaced. Wow.
To the age out? Did you replace them?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I got to do more research. Until I saw it on the agenda, I didn't even know what was going on. Something to me.
They can't get parts. They don't make the parts for the panel anymore.
Okay.
And that's the biggest problem. The whole panel has to be done, so they have to change the system because they don't even make the parts for those alarm systems anymore.
according to Chuck.
As long as it works for that amount, I'm happy. Regardless.
Yeah, let's do a little research and see what the heck's going on.
Right.
Yep.
Sometimes you gotta, sometimes it's all in how you talk.
It was
going
to have Doyle come in and look at it.
Yeah, we're going to have Doyle come in anyway.
You know what I said.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's all hobby
talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We good with the alarm?
Yeah.
And you're writing up? Okay. Dry hydrants.
Yes. Tony McIntyre, one of the chiefs of Northwest Fire District, reached out to me. Had a question after I talked to the Public Safety Committee and said, you know, we have a problem in, you know, Northwest covers majority of, this would be Lysander side. The dry hydrants in the Lysander area, some of them are on, not working, usable. So my first question to him was, I know where a lot of these are, they're probably on private property, you know, do you have easements, you know, everything like that, language, or at least some kind of paperwork allowing use of them. He said, well, that's, I gotta find out. He was just asking, you know, I just wanted to pass the information along. He was just asking with the ARPA funding if the town would be, you know, possible to help out. He doesn't have an idea of price yet. I spoke to him Tuesday and he hadn't had a chance to work with the people he needed to find out more information from. So I just wanted to keep the board up to date on, you know, they might come to us and with a, you know, I told them, only dollar amounts, we'll want it, you know, paperwork wise, that we don't go fix hydrants and then we can't use them.
A stupid question, but isn't that a fire district's responsibility for those, or is that?
Well, it's fire district, but it's also town of Lysander taxpayers.
No, right.
Here's the problem with that, and I've been talking to Tony for over a year about these things. They are on private property, and they don't have any contracts, easements, any agreements at all. So one of the things Tony and I were talking about, that if they're on private property and they're privately owned, state constitution doesn't allow us to give it to private citizens.
Right.
And it wouldn't be going to the fire department, it would be going to the private citizens. So now, one of the things that I told him to look at was, if they got easements and they got like a 50-year lease, then they're leasing it, we could probably do it then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I told him to do. So he's got some work to do. That's not something right. That's going to be done in a while. It's going to take him some time.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, I told him, I go, there's no way we would do any kind of money. I saw, you know, Lysander Fire Department years ago had an agreement with the landowner behind the building to use the field. And what happened was he passed away, and now there's a big fence where you can no longer use the field behind the fire department because it was never put on paper or, you know, an agreement made to allow the use. So I told him, I go, you know, we wouldn't be able to spend any funds or even be able to help you until legally somebody has a right to that and can allow, you know, allow the use.
Yeah, he's got some work to do on that.
That was design work. Could we apply for some dry hydrant grant to try to help them with dry hydrant problem through community development?
Right.
And we did the detail that they wanted to use was designed to fail for construction of those things. So when we did the grant, I did another detail that, you know, wouldn't be damaged by ice and would be.
Right.
Last for a long time.
To put new ones in.
To put new ones in.
Yeah, so new ones are, yeah, those were different.
If he gets to, no, they were going to try to use the same system that they had been using, and it was designed right. To fail. So if he gets to the point where he's ready to actually put some of these in, have him give me a call, because we already did the engineering on it.
Yeah, they're a long way away, because they got to contact all the homeowners. They got to get the contracts. They'd have to, see if they'll even allow them to use it. You got some of those. One of the places had a koi pond. They're not going to let you suck out all their water in the koi pond. Yeah, probably not. So, I know you put the club thing on there, but until we get the stuff back from county planning and zoning and our planning, I didn't see any reason to go over it.
No.
Did
no,
you, all, you all got what I sent you, I hope?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
I've looked through all that.
You know, I would, you know, if you have any thoughts on what I wrote, I please give me a call if you had any thoughts.
Okay.
You know, was it just a first blush of perspective?
Did Karen find out if planning and zoning were going to look over?
No, they have to look it over. Yeah, they're going to look it over.
Well, I didn't know if she had a date, yeah. If she knew the March 9th would work.
March 13th, it's going to be my March 13th. We should have everything back. The coordinator review is March 13th.
Okay.
We should have everything back from the county and the planning board by that.
Do we know when the planning board will actually discuss their...
The next meeting, which would be the
9th.
9th?
Yes.
I know at the last meeting they were talking about maybe having a joint meeting to discuss it. She was trying to make sure the schedule was lined up.
She won't be back from vacation until the 27th, so I can ask her about it.
Okay. Yes.
Are you allowing comments on the work session topics?
What did you want to talk about?
I wanted to make a comment on what you talked about, the project list, and just a couple of things that are on the project list.
If you got a specific question or something, yeah, but not comments, no.
Okay, let's see, a question. You were talking about a connective corridor from Onondaga Lake Park to the properties that are back there behind.
Yeah, that's just something that we talked, we're moving things around in case when we're looking at grant funding.
Bob, I understand that, and I just want to throw something out there from an angle that maybe you haven't thought of. I think it was excellent what Councilor Kudrowska said about the property values, and that's not a one-time deal, that's for the rest of time. That they lose that value and we lose that tax base. Another thing is, great idea to allow our people to get on it and go there, but you know what it's doing? It's opening up the door for their people to get on it and come here. They no longer need a car to come from Syracuse to gangbang. They can get on a bike. Just something to think about. Another thing is, we got a mutual friend, Courtney Rutherford. A few years back, I had the opportunity to get hooked up with SkyStream and go to school to learn how to install windmills and solar panels. And something I want to let you know that you're not properly informed about, New York State does not buy back energy from anybody who's not a utility company.
Okay, these are some of the things. If you want to have conversations with us about...
I'm just letting you know, New York State just backfeeds the meter, so you can get free electricity bill for a long
time. Those are just things we were throwing out looking for grant funding. That isn't anything that we have made a decision on, or even close to making a decision on.
I understand that. All I'm going to say, if you're hoping on making money from it, I'm just saying that you're not going to do that. We can get free electricity for as long as they last. But that's just something I figured you ought to know from somebody who has a license to install that stuff.
Okay, that's why we have an engineer here, too. Great. Okay. Anything else? Well, okay. We'll call the work session closed at 6:20.